We magnify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And Father, as we lift up the praises of an awesome, mighty God, we just invite you, Lord, to be enthroned in the praises of your people tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask it. Everybody said, amen.
What holds your heart? What stirs your soul? What matters come to mind? The cares you keep, the thoughts you think, it's not all wasted time. Seeking you will find. Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. It's still good news worth repeating. So lift your head. We wonder why we lost our way from home. Our Father finds the child inside. We left for growing old. Dancing and dreaming. the darkness. You're the only right among the wrong. You're the only hope among the chaos. You are the voice that calls me on, louder than every lie. My sword in every fight, the truth will chase away the night. Your name is power over darkness, freedom for the captives, mercy for the broken and the hopeless. Your name is faithful in the battle, glory in the struggle.
Knowing the battle's won.
Okay. All right. Oh. We'll use my little buddy here. Just for a second. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you, we glorify you. There is none like you. We ask that you anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, Amen. How many of you know that we live in a time when there's, I was listening to Martha McCallum coming down. I don't usually listen to her show. But she was talking about how people are fearful, staying in their house. How do we get people out? Basically was the question. People are fearful to send their kids to school. And it's true, there are people who are fearful. If I lived in Florida right now, I might be a little more concerned, okay? Or in Houston, Texas. We talk to a guy there almost daily that lives there. Now Chevron's telling him that y'all might be holed up in your house through August. So they're getting a little stir crazy, okay? The opposite of fear is faith. Whoops. What did I think? And the Bible tells us, Paul writing to that young minister Timothy said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of love and a sound mind. So when fear grips somebody, it's not of God, is it?
No.
There's a difference. There's a difference between getting a check in your heart and saying, I don't think I'll do that, and being all out fearful. Would you agree?
Amen.
All right. Faith gets translated in our English Bible. In Hebrew, it's translated emunah. Okay? Now, when they translated the Hebrew into Greek in the Septuagint, they translated it as pistis, okay, in Greek. And then from the Greek, we get faith, all right? And it's you see it as believe, okay? So a lot of people think that faith is simply believing. I had one of my sons tell me, Dad, don't worry about me. The Bible says all I have to do is believe in Jesus and I'll be okay. And I said, well, I'm a doubter. Because even the demons believe. Okay? That's why simply to translate faith as believe, I believe, gives you a watered-down definition of what faith is. Because the first place it's used, anybody remember where the first place faith is used in the Bible? No, Abraham did have faith, but Paul tells us that in Romans. Okay, yes, he did have faith, but where is this word emunah found first in the Bible? It's when Joshua is fighting the battle and Aaron and Hur are lifting up Moses' arms. As long as his arms are lifted up, they're winning. So, emunah, if it just simply meant believe, it wouldn't fit that passage of Scripture, would it? Emunah, where we get our word faith, actually means steadfast. How many of you know in the hour we live in, we need to be steadfast in our faith? Amen? Not to be wishy-washy. Not to be tossed to and fro like a wave on the ocean. So it means steadfast. It means firmness. the faith that we have in God, God has us on a firm foundation. Amen? And it also can be translated as fidelity or faithfulness. So it's not just simply something you believe, but it's something or someone you're faithful to. Okay? Turn with me to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And we're going to look at Caleb here in a minute. But Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 1. It says, page 1741, if you got a Bible like mine. It says, are you there? Okay. 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, keep your finger there, and I want us to go over to Exodus, the 3rd chapter. Exodus chapter 3. No, let's just pick it up in verse 1. Read a couple verses there. Page 79, you got a Bible like mine. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. I want to stop there for a minute. I want to go back to verse 23 of chapter 2. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Now, we understand here at this church that the word for remember in Hebrews, zakar doesn't simply to mean a thought, but it means to speak or act on behalf of someone. Amen. Okay, so God hears their groaning, but guess what? God had promised Abraham that his descendants would inherit the promised land, the land of Israel. God also spoke the same promise to Isaac. And then later he spoke the same promise to Jacob. So to three of the patriarchs in Genesis, God promised the land of Israel to them. Okay? That's going to be important here in a minute. Verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the bank of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzhak, and the God of Yaakov. And Moshe hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now look at verse 8. And we know he made a promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. So God tells Moses now, he's going to reiterate that covenant promise he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses, I need you to go down because I promised they're going to inherit this land. Okay? So, now let's go back to Hebrews 11. Did you keep your finger there? Page 1741. So I want you to see something. We'll come back to verse 1 in a second. I want you to go over to verse 30 this time. By faith, it says. Chapter 11, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Now, let's talk about the walls of Jericho here briefly. Was it enough for the children of Israel to simply believe the walls of Jericho would come down? Or did they have to be faithful and march around them? That's right. Sure, they believed God, but they had to show their faith by their faithfulness. Okay? Verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. What'd she do? She hung out a red cord, right? Okay. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, and became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two. That's what happened to Isaiah. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And I don't want to get into that. I just wanted to point out everything that the biblical characters did through faith, being faithful. All right, now, let's go back to verse 1. Abraham received a promise of God, right? He received it. He got up. He left his homeland. And he headed to the promised land. God promised Isaac his descendants would get it. He promises Jacob the same thing. And now he's telling Moses. He's renewing that promise to Moses. Now, let's go to verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. You know, for years I always thought that I received because of my faith. And that I was taught that faith was like a muscle. You lift weights, you lift weights, and you get strong enough, you keep getting stronger and stronger until you can whip that bully, okay? Or the way we were taught is you just keep speaking the word and speaking the word and speaking. And I'm a believer in declaring the word of God, okay? But you had to read the word, speak the word, until your faith muscle got big enough that you could receive the promise from God. But then when I realized faith wasn't simply believing, but faith was faithfulness. So, when I read Hebrews 11, I'd like to read it to you the way I see it. You can disagree if you want to. I'm okay with you being wrong. I really am. Now, the faithfulness of God is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. See, we don't have a blind hope. Our hope is in the faithfulness of God to keep his promises. Amen? Let me show you something. You keep your finger there. Go over to Lamentations. That's right after Jeremiah. Or Jeremiah in Hebrew. No J in the Hebrew language. Lamentations chapter 3. Let's see. Where do we want to go? Let's start verse 19. Page 1044. Verse 19 says, "Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall." He's having a bad day. He's afflicted. "My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind." He's having a bad day, so he's going to recall something to his mind, and he says, "Therefore I have hope." So whatever it is that Jeremiah is recalling to his mind, even when he's really, really down. Anybody ever have any really down days? You know, there's something is causing him to have hope. And he says in verse 22, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." What gave him hope? God's faithfulness. Where do we see God's faithfulness? In keeping his promises. Amen. Amen. You know, the promise that the ancient Hebrews didn't get was the promise of a new covenant. They didn't get to receive that. Okay? They received the promised land, but they didn't get to receive the Messiah Jesus. Jeremiah 31:31. God said, "I'll make a new covenant with you. I'll write my laws on the tablet of your heart. I will be your God and you will be my children." Amen? So the promise of a new covenant, God has kept that. Amen? So, verse 1 again. "Now faith," or the faithfulness of God, "is the substance of things hoped for. That's the evidence of things I cannot see." So, when you read over here in Lamentations, Jeremiah says, "They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Verse 23. And in verse 24, he says, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him." Woo! Glory to God. See, it kind of took the pressure off of me to build that muscle. I just need to stay strong, stay steadfast, stay firm, and believe and trust in God's faithfulness to fulfill his promises. How many know God said in his word, Jesus is coming back? Amen. Amen. You know, how many of you would like it to have been yesterday? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Verse 25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of Yahweh, or the deliverance of Yahweh. Now, let's go over to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. You know this story. The children of Israel have been wandering, and now they come to Kadesh Barnea. And God says, send 12 spies into the land. So verse 23 says, then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes that make a quart of wine. Man, that's not my original. Shambach used to say that. Said, they carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. Man, they're talking about all the enemies, ain't they? They've done got their eyes off that cluster of grapes. They've got their eyes off of God, and now they're looking at the COVID-19.
They got scared.
All right, let's keep going. Scared. 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Where we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. You know, at times you can be overwhelmed by things going on in this world. Just even in America, you can be overwhelmed. So that's that feeling of feeling like a grasshopper in their sight. But remember, our God keeps his promises.
Amen.
Amen. We can truly put our hope in his faithfulness to answer and to fulfill those promises. Glory to God. I keep telling God when I'm praying for President Trump. I've been doing this since day one. The Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard against him.
Amen.
And I'm like, God, they're coming at our president like a flood. Lift up a standard against him. And I said, if any of them don't want to hear your voice, if any of our leaders don't want to hear your voice and obey you, take them out. Replace them with godly men and women. Do with them what you want. I know what I do with them, but you know, you're all merciful, God, okay? Yeah. Verse 1 of chapter 14. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Oh, man. They done went back to slavery. They done went back to where they were. Do you know that on your journey with God, there's things that happen in your life where God has to reposition you? You know? And he repositions you in order that you can be more fruitful. Amen? So he's trying to reposition the children of Israel. I brought you out of Egypt. I'm taking you to the promised land where you can be fruitful. So he says in verse 2, let me read that last part of verse 2 again. If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunne, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. How about that? Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before the children of Israel. The Lord said to Moses, How long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I mean, you think about all the 10 signs in Egypt, water them with a rock, feed them with manna, sending them quail, and now the land's everything I promised you would be, and you're afraid of a few giants. God says, I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them. I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. So this generation never got to go into the promised land because fear cannot receive from God. Only faithfulness receives from God. Amen? So in the hour we live in as Christians, we need to continue to put our hope and our trust in God's faithfulness to bring us the promises. Amen? To protect us. Glory to God. To protect our president and this nation. This nation, and along with Christianity, is under attack.
Amen.
Amen. And we need to continue to pray. I want to read you something. It's just too good not to read it to you.
Amen.
If I can find it. Let me see. Come on. You're on my reading list. Okay. You're going to play that way, huh? Let's try it again. There it goes. What? Huh? Let's see, what's that guy's name? Let's try it again. Hang in there. I'm glad I typed it up. Now I'm having trouble finding it. That might be it. I'll try one more time. Alexander. What was his middle name? Frazier. There he is. Okay, there we go. This should make you continue to pray for America. Alexander Frazer Tytler, T-Y-T-L-E-R. Sometime in the 1700s, he said this: a democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves stuff from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that a democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy, always followed by a dictatorship. The average age of the world's greatest civilization has been 200 years. These nations have progressed through this sequence, from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to apathy, growing cold to God, and from apathy to dependence, and from dependence back into bondage. I think that describes, you know, our democracy right now, for sure. That's why we need to continue to ask God to raise up a standard. We need to continue to pray and to trust in His faithfulness. Amen? Well, let's pray. Do what?
We need a copy of that. I like great sayings.
Oh. Well, I have a whole bunch of them starting the 28th of July. I've been working on that class, and I have. Yeah, I got. No, you have a handout. You know, I was working on the introduction today, and I was really on a roll, and I was really aggravated because I had to take time and cut my grass before I had to bale it. After I paid that grandson to cut it, you know, I ground him from my house. I said, "You ain't laying up here for a week," you know. Trey. It's been 3 weeks. I'm gonna get it. So,
well. Well, you pay him afterwards. You know that is.
Well, he needed some gas money.
Yeah, they always
do. You know. So, well, let's pray and we'll get out of here. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. Father, I just ask that you bless these, your people, spiritually, physically, financially, and emotionally. Father, bless our president, Lord God. Give him favor. May your face shine upon him, Lord. And what the enemy is trying to make bad, to make him look bad, you turn it back to good, Lord God. And Father, we just give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You see Biden's tax plan?